We commonly sing youth songs from camp, and there are songs that are in our book that we sing as well lots of times. Number 185 is one of them, and I'd like for you to sing with me the two verses here of this song. You recognize it not just as an adult song, but as a youth song, because this right here is a part of Sarge Lake Christian Camp all the time. He is my everything, He is my all, He is my everything, both great and small. He gave His life for me, made everything new. He is my everything, now my life is you. Some folks may ask me, some folks may say, who is Mr. Jesus? You talk about every day. Whether we're younger or older, that He is to be our real source and everything. Good to be with y'all today and to be a part of this service of worship together with you. What do we do? Well, we're a New Testament church. We are authorized to teach only that which is taught in the Word of God. We're authorized to teach only that and practice only that which is illustrated in the Word of God. And in this particular month, we've been looking at the life and the activities of Solomon and of King David. And today, we want to look at someone else. The Son of God. He was a man upon this earth just as well as He was from above. When we talk about Jesus, we're talking about someone predicted by the prophet that would come. In Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14, He is talked regarding the time in which a virgin would conceive and bear a son, and he called his name Emmanuel, God with us. And thus it is the quotation of the angel to Mary there in Matthew chapter 1, in reference to this time of fulfillment, that Jesus was in fact the one who came to fulfill the prophecy's words about this great Savior that came from the Lord. It is noted that he would be born in Bethlehem of Ephratah, least among the thousands of Judah, in Micah chapter 5 and verse 2. This being the truth and being the case, we resist those who would teach that Jesus was born somewhere else, particularly if he would be born at Jerusalem, for it does not match up with the description given in Micah 5 and verse 2 at all. For the description given is least among the thousands of Judah. Yet out of these shall he come forth who hath been from old, even from everlasting. Jesus came from eternity through Bethlehem, and that was the location. And when Jesus was born there in Bethlehem, there is a time in which he found himself as a babe, as a child. And he was nourished there. And as a result of that, he found himself being growing and being that way. In Luke chapter 2 and verse 52, There's a statement made regarding the growth of this Savior, much like any other child, yet unlike any other child. It is said there in Luke 2 at verse 52, "And Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man." Although it is the case that children generally increase in wisdom and stature, by a series of blessings and a series of punishments, they realize the wisdom of listening to father and mother, and they realize the vanity of not listening to father and mother. Along the way, they practice certain things. No one has experience in driving an automobile, for example, the first time that they drive a lawnmower or drive something else, a tractor on the place. But by the practice of doing that, over and over again, they realize that this machine is available to you to hurt you, to harm you, and to harm others. But it is also available to you to grow in learning how that works and how you can turn it and how you can move it about and how you can make it advantageous to your work in life. Thus it is that there are practices that are done. Jesus did all the above from eternity. It is said regarding him, he increased in wisdom and in stature and in favor with God and man. He was a friend to man. In Luke chapter 19, when at Zacchaeus' household, he said, "The Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost." It is the case that he was utilizing the knowledge that they saw around him. They saw that he was the descendant of Martha and Mary, and Mary and Joseph, and they saw that he was a man, a human being. They, in their lack of understanding the wisdom of the Old Testament prophets, made their statements to him in regard to this matter. "You are just a man." And in reference to being just a man, "You are not the Son of God. You didn't come down from heaven. You did not bring us this message." Jesus, though, affirmed that he did, that he was from eternity, and that as a result of being from eternity, he was telling them of eternal message of life. How did Jesus teach us to live and die? That's our emphasis today. The idea of Jesus teaching us to live and die is a certain point, just as earlier Solomon talked about living and dying, and how David talked about the blessed man of Psalm 1, living and dying. And how that you and I can live and die, Jesus certainly gave us the message. In John chapter 4, he visits the woman at the well there in Samaria. And as he walks up, it's unusual because he's a Jewish man walking up to a woman who finds herself saying, "Our people don't have anything to do with you. And what's the reason? What's the idea here?" Jesus tells her about this water that she is drawing in the middle of the day. Noting that it is the middle of the day is somewhat unusual. Most of the scholarly world tell us that this woman was a woman of ill repute, and that she had come there to that well to draw water without there being a crowd of other people around her. Others came in the cool of the day to draw water. Others came in the evening time in the cool to draw water. Very rare was the occasion of drawing the water at the noontime, in the middle of the day, in the heat of the hour, and to this Jesus used in teaching her. For Jesus said, "Of this water that you draw, if you were to know who I am, you would ask of me, and I will give you a water, from which as you drink it, you will never thirst again." She interpreted that just like the Jewish leaders of Jesus' day, that he was just a man, and thus, when he said that, he was talking about just the water that she was drawing from that literal well. So she said, "Lord, give me this water, that on whatsoever I may draw this water, I won't ever have to come back here and draw again. I won't have to come and get some more." But Jesus was speaking about a spiritual water, and how that each one should desire that spiritual water, so that as we drink of that water of salvation and that water of forgiveness and that water of redemption and that water of sanctification, that we find ourselves never thirsting again. We don't find ourselves saying at night in a time of prayer, I don't know if the Lord hears me or not. We don't say it ourselves as we rise up in the morning, thank you, Lord, for a restful night and the opportunities of this day. We don't find ourselves doubting the ways of the Lord. We find ourselves rejoicing in the fact that we have water that's taken within from which we never, ever thirst again. We have a home, a hope of the soul. Jesus taught that to his disciples. What a wonderful thing. In Matthew chapter 16, beginning at verse 13, it is said, when Jesus came down from the coast of Caesarea Philippi. The coast of Caesarea Philippi, we're told by historians, was a designated place. It was the coastal area toward the Mediterranean Sea. It was one that was built by Herod Philip and found himself in this way of going to that place for kind of a respite. It would be a cool breeze that would come from the waters up toward the mountainside of Caesarea. But it would also emit rains that would take place, pleasant, wonderful rains that would be there. And there were various houses that had been built and dwellings that had been built. And from the coastal area, Caesarea Philippi, Jesus came down to meet his disciples. Came down from that mountainside and he said, whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? Notice that, the Son of Man am. Why, when they looked at him, the disciples said, well, listen. Some say that thou art Elijah. Others say that you're Jeremiah. Others say various other ones are the prophets. Even John the Baptist. But whom say ye that I am, Jesus said. And they replied by the words of Simon Peter. Thou art the Christ, the anointed one. The Son of God. Not just the Son of Man, the Son of the Highest, the Son of God. Jesus pulled out Simon and said, Simon, Barjona, son of Jonah, you're just a man. We can look at your earthly father. You're right. You can't look at my earthly father. Joseph is not my earthly father. It is the case that Mary was the virgin of which Isaiah in Isaiah 7:14 predicted would come about. Here is the one who was without child. Here's the one who was without her husband and her dwelling together as husband and wife. It is said regarding Joseph there in Matthew 1, he being a just man and not willing to make of Mary a public example, sat down and pondered what to do about this thing. She was obviously with child, but it was not his child. And while he yet thought earnestly on these things, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him and said, do not be afraid to take unto thee Mary, thy wife. That conceived in her is not of man. She hadn't jilted you. She hadn't cheated against you. But this is of the Holy Ghost. He is the Emmanuel, God with us. So it is the case that Joseph and Mary were together. And the days of her developing this little fetus and growing so that it would come forth was in connection with a great providence of God. For you see, they lived in Nazareth.
They lived in that tax benefit place up north of Samaria. But Herod wanted to have taxation codes on every family. So he had sent decrees that every man and every man head of a household should take his family with him and come to Jerusalem if they were from Jerusalem. But he was from Bethlehem. So it was going to be a long trip for him to go to his hometown and register there that he might be known by all of them around him that I am from this city. I can be taxed from this city. And it came to be that her days were accomplished. And they began to look for a place where she could rest and bring forth this son, this child. Herod didn't know that he was working in the plan of God the Father. He didn't know that he was fulfilling the prophet Micah's words that the Savior would be born in Bethlehem of Ephrathah, least among the thousands of Judah, not from Nazareth, but from that city. And not finding a place for them in the inn, they virtually found a stable. With the hay, the animals, and all around them, the Son of God came forth as the Son of Man right there and then. And he increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man. This Jesus taught us about life. He taught us about salvation. He taught us about hope. And he taught us there when he came down from Caesarea Philippi with his disciples, who do men say that I am? Well, men could say that he is fiery like Elijah. So men could say that he's strong and powerful and talks of life and death like Jeremiah. But whom say ye that I am? Simon Peter had heard enough at that day and time, though he didn't really understand it fully and complete. We'll make a lot of mistakes as he went along. That day he said the truth. Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Do we love him as the Son of the living God, and precious is his teaching and his way? If we do, we'll go forth and teach others. And in Matthew 28, verses 18 through 20, this is what Jesus said. All authority hath been given unto me, both in heaven and on earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations. And baptize them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. And teach them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the world. These disciples of the Lord were taught to go forth and tell this message of the Savior and of his way. As a result of that, they did go forth and teach that message. And as a result of that, 3,000 people on the day of Pentecost in Acts 2 came forward to be baptized into Christ and to be added by the Lord to his church, Acts 2:47. And as they worshiped the Lord then, so we worship the Lord here today, as we find ourselves thinking of him and thinking of his righteous way. When our time of earth has come and our lives on earth have been lived, we realize that Jesus promised to his disciples the following in John 14. Let not your hearts be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we know not where you're actually going, and we don't understand enough to say that we can fully know the way. Have I been with you so long, taught you so much, that you don't yet quite understand it? I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. What a blessing it is today to offer this song of invitation, and a time for us that if we'd not come to the Lord, we can come like they did on the day of Pentecost in Acts 2. We can come like Simon himself did in Acts chapter 8 in repentance and prayer to return to the Lord. But we can be people who serve the cause of Christ Jesus as he has taught us and as he lived for us. Would you come to him as we stand together and as we sing? Continue, Lord, willing, that thought tonight about Jesus, and begin it from eternity in his conversation with the Heavenly Father about the great plan that he made and had, and that Jesus was willing to come and take up and to take place. And we'll start with that tonight, Lord, willing.